thing, healthy spiritual habits. Y'all remember? And we started 2 weeks ago talking about habits and what habits are and how critical habits are in our lives, because really your habits make the difference between success or failure. Because habits are frequent repetitions, you know, of the same act. It's to do the same thing over and over again. And all of us have habits, and we're creatures of habit, and we do the same things over and over. And so we, you know, we have various habits, things we do. Do any of y'all have any habits that are a little quirky y'all want to share with us? Quirky habits? Anybody have any habits at all they'd like to share tonight? Nobody? Yes? You stick your pinky finger out when you drink. Yeah, that's a habit. That's a weird habit. She's trying to be ladylike, I suppose. You know, my mom, I don't know why, but my mom, and I find this aggravating since she's not here tonight, she's out of town where it's snowing, I can tell about her. She has gotten in the habit of having to drink with a straw. And I find that annoying. Maybe you drink with a straw, but what's annoying about it is if she doesn't have a straw, she doesn't think she can drink. So it's like a major crisis in our house whenever it's time to drink or eat, and she doesn't have a straw. We're all just hunting for a straw. And I'm like, where did this come from? And she has this big, long, elaborate explanation, but it's just a habit that she's gotten into. She has to drink with a straw. Now, you know, we all have habits, one kind of habit or another, but we all do have habits. It's just frequent repetitions of the same act again and again and again. And so we were talking about habits and saying, you know, if we are creatures of habit and we have habits, that something that can really, you know, something that really bears some study or something that would benefit us is to examine our habits and try to incorporate healthy habits, particularly healthy spiritual habits, and to develop healthy spiritual habits in our lives. So that's what we've been talking about. We talked about, for 2 weeks, we talked about prayer and really broke it down to, you know, Matt's been talking on Sunday mornings about prayer, and we're just looking at it a little different, the actual how-tos of prayer. And I gave you seven daily, what I called the seven daily in prayer. They were seven things in prayer that we should cover on a regular basis. These are things that we should incorporate into our prayer lives. Not that you're necessarily going to cover every one every day or every time you pray, but frequently you should incorporate these seven things into your prayer life. And maybe I'll turn back over and read those. One of them was, anybody know what the first one was? Unload your worries. That's something that just you should be doing on a frequent basis as you pray. Unload your worries. Activate your faith. That's Mark 11, where it talks about you believe, you receive when you pray. There's something about the act of prayer, just like Matt just talked about, ask and you shall receive. He just read that scripture. That's really this activating your faith when you pray. Surrendering yourself, we talked about that. That's consecrating yourself to God's will and His plan and giving up what it was you were planning on doing and really submitting yourself in obedience to Him. Own up to your failures, talked about that. Confessing your sins, that's something we should be doing on a regular basis. You know, confessing any sins or shortcomings, whatever. Get your marching orders, and that's really looking to God for His plans, getting wisdom from Him. Stocking the shelves with God's power, that's praying for us, but mostly praying for other people, interceding, making supplications for other people, and making God's power available to them. And then the last one we talked about was reminiscing and rejoicing, which was, you know, remembering what God has done and rejoicing over that, giving Him praise and thanks for what He's done. So if you weren't here last week or the week before, you can get the CDs back in the Resource Center, and I think it'll be a help to you. But tonight we're going to talk about a different habit, and I'm going to need five people to help me with this. What I need for you to do is I need you to bring your Bible and a pen, and I need you to come forward and put your, you know, toes right up against the edge of the platform, and I'm going to need five people to help me with that. And Rick Ellis, why don't you help me with that? And let's see, who else? Neil's volunteering to help, so come along. Thank you, Neil. And let's see who else. Why don't I get Chris Kraft, if you'd come. And then I'm trying to see who people are. I can't see the lights. And Suzanne, you come along. How many is that? That's four. And then Janice, why don't you come? Do what? Now, did all of you bring a pen? You all have your pen? And did all of you bring your Bibles? Are you sure that's a Bible, Chris? That looks like a hymnal. That's good. That's good. Now, what have we just witnessed here tonight? Obedience. You thought it was going to be tough, didn't you, Chris? An act of obedience. These five people, they heard, let's talk about just for a minute, they heard what I said, with a little reminder from Eddie, and they got up and they came forward, some rather reluctantly. Suzanne was one of those. Janice was definitely in that category. Neil, eagerly. Chris, puzzledly. They got up and they heard what I said. And they got up and they did what I asked them to do. And surprisingly, all five of them actually did what I asked them to do. They all brought a Bible, they all brought a pen, and they all have their toes against the edge of the platform. I have to tell you, I'm a little amazed. Thank you very much. You can be seated. Thought we were going to play a game, didn't you? Thought I was going to whip out the old maid cards. Not tonight. It's going to be rummy cub next week, I guess. Anyway, I just want you to see how easy obedience is. Obedience, but there's several elements in obedience. And the first element of obedience is you have to hear, you have to receive instruction. It's impossible to obey if you don't receive the instruction. Did you notice when I said that there was nobody from Overflow or the Kids Club that came up here and did this, because they're not in here to hear. So there, you have to be available, and then once you're available, you have to actually receive the instruction or hear. So tonight we're going to talk about obedience and what that means, and kind of go through the process of it a little bit, because obedience is actually a habit that you should be developing. It's a healthy spiritual habit. Now, you may have never thought of obedience as being a habit, but obedience is a habit. It's a habit. And whether you obey habitually or whether you don't makes, I'm telling you, all the difference in how you live your life. And how much you progress spiritually and how pleasing you are to God. But, you know, and there's just a lot of things that happen as a result of your obedience. There are a lot of promises for obedience, but I'm not going to talk tonight about the promises. Maybe next week I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. Tonight I want to talk about the act of obedience. Now, obedience is compliance with commands. I think we understand what obedience is. We just witnessed it, and I didn't even give you, tell you the word, and I said, what did we just see? And somebody said, we just saw obedience. So we know what obedience is. It's compliance with commands, orders, or instructions. I don't have PowerPoint tonight because one reason I don't is because the passages we're going to read are so long that I didn't put them up. It's submission to the rule, direction, or control of. It's being yielded. So let me go over that again. Obedience is, well, it's really three words: compliance, submission, yielding. And like I just said, to obey, you have to hear and you have to respond in obedience. Now, if you don't hear, you're not going to be able to obey, even if you want to obey. Even if your heart is towards obedience, even if you want to be submitted or you want to comply or you want to yield, if you don't actually hear, it's not, you can't do it. So you're not able to do it. But then once you hear, you have the choice. That's where your will gets involved. Is now I have to choose. I have to make a choice. Am I going to comply? Am I going to yield? Because I saw as I asked certain people to come up here, they kind of had to make a choice there. They weren't necessarily intending to come up front tonight and put their toes against the edge of the platform. But they chose to comply. Nobody defied me and said, nope, not me. Wasn't that interesting? Even Neil was over here, choose me, pick me. You know, it was Horseshack. Not really, but. do you even know what Horseshack is, Neil? Are you too young to know? Oh, you know? Okay. Okay. Welcome back, Connor. That might be a little older than some of you. But anyway, you know, there's several elements that go in with that. Now, obedience is a habit and can be formed as a habit, and it's something you can put into practice, and it's something really you have to practice. Now, you might be saying, I'm not really sure it's a habit. I tell you, if you are around kids for very long, you figure out the kids that practice, that have a habit of obeying, and those that don't. And you know, I don't know what made me like this, but for some reason, maybe it was just the nature of the life that we were living when we had started having kids. There were just so many demands in our lives, and I didn't have time to put up with disobedient children. And something in me does not like disobedience in children. You know, I'm going to tell you, I don't mind if my kids have stains on their clothes. You've probably noticed that. I don't mind if their clothes are wrinkled. You've probably noticed that. There's a lot of things I don't really mind. You know, that it's not that big a deal to me. But one thing that I cannot stand is disobedience. And if I tell my kid to do something and they don't do it, it makes me mad. And I was in the bookstore. I was shocked about this. I was at Books A Million on Monday afternoon. I went in the restroom, and I noticed following me in the bathroom was a lady and her kid. And I noticed the lady was really eyeballing me. And so, you know, that kind of makes you nervous when somebody follows you in the bathroom and they're eyeballing you. You're kind of on guard, you know, like, what's going to be happening here? And so I immediately went in the stall and bolted it, you know. And I'm over there just minding my own business. And I noticed this woman, she goes into a stall with her child, and I hear her talking to the child. And I realize that I'm about to witness something that is unusual in our day and age. This woman had brought her child into the bathroom to spank this child. Now, you just almost can't get away with that these days. I remember when the kids were little, taking them outside to the van with the tinted windows so I could spank them in the van with the tinted windows, because you almost don't dare do that in a public place because you don't know who might be coming get you and haul you away. You just do it right there in the aisle, huh? No, but I mean, you know, I was just shocked about that. I mean, I wanted to push open the stall and say, good for you. Because actually, my thought was there were about four kids I met up with at the back of the store in the kids section that I wanted to take into a stall because they were so defiant. Now, you know, I know everybody has all these different ways of raising their kids and all, but I'm going to tell you, if you miss out on raising obedient children, you have yourself to thank, and you are doing a terrible disservice to your child. One of the best things that you can do for your child is to teach them and school them in the habit of obedience. And it was important to me when the kids were little that they didn't just obey, that, you know, after I counted to 10, because, you know, and if that's your method, more power to you. But I think that's personally, this is me, this has nothing to do with anything scriptural tonight. That is stupid. Okay. But getting back now to something scriptural, I wanted them that whenever they heard my voice, they would obey my voice. And something about that is really important to me, that if the kid is headed for the middle of the street and I yell stop, that they'll stop in their tracks. I don't know why those just was. So it's really important they obey my voice, not because I jumped up and down, but just on a voice. And I, you know, that's really important for us to obey the voice, the command that we hear. And we have to school our kids in that. Don't get me started. I think I already have started, and I'm going to stop now. But, you know, we have to make it. Now, looking at us, we have to be like that. Is that we're expecting that of them? What about us? Whoa, I don't want to talk about that. But it has to become our habit to obey. Our habit. Maybe one reason we often have children who don't obey might be because we don't obey. Maybe we're disobedient people. I don't know. Maybe so. You know, one problem I think that we encounter is the culture that we're in. The culture here in this country is a rebellious culture. The people, and you don't necessarily, we're so used to being Americans and living the way we live, you don't necessarily notice it. It doesn't stand out to you so much. But if you go to another country and you see how they are, you realize Americans just have an attitude of rebellion and disobedience, and don't you tell me what to do. I remember when we were in Japan some years ago, Matt and I, when we were out in public, we just walked around with our mouths open how these people lived, how they worked with each other, how they, we had to transfer when we got into Tokyo. We had to leave one airport and then transfer over to another airport, and we had to do that by bus. So we come up to the line. Now, Americans, when they're waiting on something, we just all kind of gather around. We're waiting because the bus is going to pull up, and as soon as the bus gets here, we're all going to push in and make sure we get on the bus. But they were all just standing one after one in the line. In fact, we were standing trying to figure out what to do, and the nicest man walked over and said, "Are you looking for such and such a bus to go so and so?" And we said, "Yeah." And he said, "What you need to do?" And he told us where to go and stand. You know, single file, just how to line up. This was very interesting. When we got to the destination, you know how it is whenever we are on a plane or we're on some kind of mass vehicle kind of situation, what we do, we all jump up and try to get off first. Or if you're on an airplane, it's the guys at the front, they get off first. This was amazing to me. When we got off the bus is unloaded from the back to the front. You sat in your seat until the guys in the back got up and they got them. And it wasn't this, let me jump up and grab all my stuff from the overhead bin and crowd the aisle and snarl at you as you go by. We just sat patiently until people got off. Isn't that odd? Something about the culture and the way they defer to one another is amazing to me. Maddie Sue spent a month in the United Kingdom this summer, and she came home, and when she got home, for 2 months, everywhere we went, she couldn't say enough about how the British people, how they, you know, they stand on cue for everything. You go in, you know how when we have checkouts at the grocery store, we all have, there's that one line, and you're looking to see how many they have in there, and you're going to run out of this line over to that one. And y'all been to Sam's, and y'all done this. You're up there, and you're seeing. And, you know, there they just all, they get in one orderly line. And she said they're not messing around when they're in line. And you don't have to, you know, you ever been in line and you're wondering, is this person really in line or not? Or are they just waiting on somebody? Or are they in this line? Or are they in that line? You ever been in the movie theater and tried to buy tickets and you're not quite sure what line you're in and where a line is? Am I the only one that has these experiences? Here's how this stuff going. She said, you never wondered where a line was. They were all, and she said, and instead of like being out here in the middle and all, they'd always hug against the wall so other people could go by. It's something just kind of culturally built into them that they're obedient and submissive and yielding. And then there's us. All you have to do, if you have any question about this, just drive. Just go down here and get on the interstate and just drive a little bit. I think particularly if your worldview pretty much centers on, you know, being an American and what we do here, you don't realize that people are different from us. And you know, I know we're all, and I'm proud to be an American, you know. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things about our culture that really give us some bad habits that spill over into a lot of areas of our lives, just our mindset. I know we're, you know, the land of the free, but there's some things about freedom that the Bible teaches. We are free, but the Bible also says we are by choice slaves of righteousness. How can you be free and be a slave at the same time? Well, it's a scriptural concept, because you choose to yield yourself as a slave of righteousness, even though you are ultimately free. But there's something about that whole thing, just even in our culture, we don't get that. We have to express our freedom. We have to tell it like it is and let it all hang out and blah, blah, blah. You know how Americans are. And I think that that spills over into our daily practices. It spills over into how we conduct ourselves in life, how we live, and it spills over into how we are spiritually. So we're talking about obedience, and I think there's some things here that we need to look at because, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. We need to look at these things because these are good habits for us, and some of these we're going to have to develop. Some of these places we're going to have to check up in our lives, and obedience. Obedience might be one of those areas. Matthew chapter 7, we were in Matthew chapter 7 a little while ago, but we're now going to read down towards the end of the chapter, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, if you didn't bring a Bible tonight, you can borrow one out of a pew around you. There should be one. If you don't have one, look around on the pew backs and you'll find a Bible. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings, now Jesus is talking here, of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now let me ask you a question. The difference between the guy that built his house on the rock and the guy that built his house on the sand, do you think the difference between these two fellows was that one wanted their house to be destroyed and the other one didn't? No. Really, it was a difference of a choice. It was a difference of what they chose to do. It was a difference of their will. It wasn't, they both desired the same outcome, wouldn't you agree? They both desired for their houses to stand and to be strong. But what they did or didn't do is what determined what happened. It wasn't their desire, it was what they actually did or didn't do. In this case, Jesus said, if you hear my sayings, which he said about both of them, if you hear my sayings and then you do them, things are going to be well for you. It's going to lead you to the desired end. But if you hear them, notice both of them heard. But don't do it, it's going to take you where you don't want to go. It's going to lead to your destruction. Now that's an important point. Because the difference is not that one of them heard and one didn't. The difference is, and one obeyed and one didn't. One did. He's talking about obedience and not obeying. You could read it like that. You know, instead of hearing and doing, you could say one heard but obeyed and one heard and didn't obey. That's the difference. It's in what they did. Now, the one thing that I've come to realize about people is that people want to follow, you know, I'm talking about spirit-filled people. They want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You ever heard people talk about being led by the Holy Spirit? And they want to be led by the Holy Spirit, and they want to, you know, I'm talking about they want to give lip service to being led by the Holy Spirit. In theory, they want to be led by the Holy Spirit because they know that if you follow God, if you follow His plans, I think we've all come to the conclusion that God's plans are going to lead to the desired end. Do you agree with that? That God's plans are going to lead to the desired end, the place you want to go. But it's one thing to want to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to desire to obey God. And it's another thing to actually obey God. Now, obedience starts. Does anybody know where obedience to God starts? No. Where does obedience to God start? Does anybody know? Yeah, what? Yes. Say that again. To the Word. Obedience starts with the Word. Do you know where being led by the Holy Spirit starts? Where does it start? The Word. Now, this is an important point that oftentimes people jump right over. I need to hear from God. And they forget the number one way we hear from God is through what He's already said. It's like we need to hear something else. The reality is, until we hear and do what He's already said, we're getting way ahead of ourselves and we're being very presumptuous to just jump right out there and think, no, I got to hear from God. I got to get a word from God. We already have many, many, many words from God. What are you doing with those? I'm trying not to get riled up tonight, so I'm just trying to be calm because this is just really strong in me tonight. That right here, we have been given, particularly, and I'm going to show you in just a minute, particularly certain passages, we have been given instructions. And the reality is, we don't think much of it. And we need to hear from God. And I think the Holy Spirit is leading me to do such and such. And this is what I think. Blah, blah, blah. What about this? Have we really gotten to the point that we are habitually obeying this? What do you mean by this, Pastor Susie? I mean the instructions that the Holy Spirit inspired to be written right here. Are we obeying this? Are you saying the Ten Commandments? No, I'm not even talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about things written to you and me specifically. And that's why I want you to, I'm glad you got your Bible tonight. I want to show you some things in the Bible. Some things I just noticed. Y'all turn to Galatians. Who authored and penned the book of Galatians? Does anybody know? The Apostle Paul. He penned the book of Galatians. Now, something I've noticed with Paul's writings, when he writes, he starts off and he gives some theology, gives some lessons and doctrine, he gives lots of things, but he closes out his books with very specific instructions for you. And if you turn to Galatians, you'll find it starting in chapter 6. He says, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Isn't that an interesting scripture? Have you been obedient to that scripture? You're sitting there wondering, I'm not really sure if I have or not. That's what I'm saying. We don't really take this very seriously. We are given very specific instructions in the scripture here. Okay, here, let's go to verse 2. "Bear one another's burdens." Verse 3. "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work." Any of y'all been examining your own work as opposed to critically analyzing the work of everyone else? Okay, so that's Galatians. You can read through there when you get a little time. Let's flip over to Ephesians. How about Ephesians 5? Well, it actually starts earlier. Why don't we go back? It starts in Ephesians 4. Let's begin here in verse 22. That if you put off, this is Ephesians 4:22. At the end of the book, he gets real practical. That you put off concerning your former conduct. Any of y'all been thinking about any former conduct you have that's still hanging around that you need to put off? Okay. "The old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man." Anybody in here been thinking about putting on the new man and what that entails? This is going over real big tonight, Matt. Maybe I need to turn it over to you. Okay, let's go on down. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying. Except when it's convenient. Oh, wait a minute. And then let each of you, each one of you, speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry and do not sin. It seems to me that we consider most of this stuff optional. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's like an optional thing. Maybe, maybe not. Now, I know we read things in the Bible. We read like Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went the other way. So Jonah gets on this boat headed anti-Nineveh, wherever that is. And then the big storm came. They threw him overboard, and the fish swallowed him up. We all read that, and we think, Jonah was a fool. He should have just obeyed God and went down to Nineveh, right? But we have words from God. And we see these as optional. We don't really, and let me just say it this way. It's probably not even that we consider them so much optional as we just don't think much about them at all. Give me Philippians 4:19. Now there's something I can run with. But a lot of it, it's just kind of like, you know, if I'm bored and I, you know, and Ephesians 2 isn't doing it for me anymore, maybe I'll, you know, go on over here to Ephesians 4 and I'll read through some of this and think, yeah, that's right. My husband better quit going to bed mad with me. Nor give place to the devil. I'm going to tell you, the reality is we give the devil place all the time. Let him who stole steal no longer. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Now this is a really good one. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification. Now, just, you know, building up. This is that it may impart grace to the hearers. Now, this is interesting. Last 3 days, have you been obeying this? You've been thinking, you know, I really... When I'm speaking here, I need to be aware that what I'm saying, there should be no corruption coming across these lips, nothing corrupt. Everything I'm saying should be ministering, imparting grace, and building people up. Is that on your mind? I'm talking about obedience tonight. Obedience starts with the word. We all want to hear from heaven. We all want a word from God. We all want some kind of marching orders. It starts right here, baby doll. This is where it starts for all of us. And we get this, and we get going with this, and we walk in this, and we start getting attentive to this, and hearing on purpose this, and reading on purpose these things, and start applying them habitually and frequently, and saying, you know, I was going to say that, but it's just not going to impart grace to anybody, and it's not corrupt. I mean, it's corrupt. It's you know, right there at corrupt, at the door of corrupt, and, you know, I'm just going to have to not say that even though I wanted to. But it really doesn't matter if we ever even stop to think about it. Let me just ask you a question, just really be honest. Anybody in here have a temper problem? You get angry, you have a lot of anger, you lose your temper. Anybody honest in here? You know, the Bible gives you commands about that. Anybody in here given to vain babbling? Vain babbling, that's what the scripture calls it. It's when you're just talking and you're just talking about stuff that has is vanity, it has no meaning. It's just, I'm not talking about your swearing or stuff. You're just empty words and you're just filling the air with them because, you know, they're amusing to you. Anybody join me in that? So, you know, obedience. We're talking about the habit of obedience. Obedience starts with the written word. This is very interesting. Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I don't know about y'all. I'm not that excited about obedience. It's really not that exciting of a topic. honestly. I'd rather pray and get a word from God. What you think? Wouldn't you just rather pray and get some word? We'll pray and we'll get the word like when I got Sunday morning. Turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. That's a lot more exciting than let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No wonder we don't read these. All right, well, we'll just, Ephesians is getting rough. Why don't we go over to the next book, Philippians. Really, it starts in chapter 3, but we'll just go down here to chapter 4. And there's a bunch in here. Rejoice in the, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse 5, let your gentleness be made known, be known to all men. When's the last time that you on purpose obeyed that? Let your gentleness be known to all. We want a word from God. There's a word. Be gentle. We got our pastor snorting up here. He's doing the pig laugh. I'm just saying, you know, we have this. These need to be habitual. You need to be habitually gentle, obeying the word. And then verse 6, again, we see these as kind of optional. If we ever hear them or hear about them, they're sort of optional kinds of things that, yeah, that would be good if I did that. These are not optional. These are matters of obedience. These are matters of you yielding, you submitting, you complying. Now, this probably is a good time to bring this up. Some of you can probably help me out with this and explain this better than I could. So let me see if I can get a little help here. James, why don't you come up? I think you could help me with this. I just need to ask you a few questions, sir. I know Neil could probably help me, too, with this. So if I don't get what I want out of James, you'd be ready, Neil. I just need to ask you some questions, sir. Now, I see today you're in here and you're wearing some kind of a uniform. What's that about?
It's about going to work in the proper uniform.
Oh, Larry. Okay, just relax a little.
Messed up, give me a microphone.
Okay, there we go. All right, now, where are you going to work, sir?
I'm going to work on Fort Gordon.
And you're in the, according to the label upon the man's chest, he's in the U.S. Army.
The U.S. Army.
Okay.
There it is.
Now, I've never been in the military. But it's just, in my mind, I have the notion, you need to straighten that out before you get to work tomorrow. Okay. Now, it's just in my mind that the military is all about habitual obedience. Now, would I be correct in saying that?
Yes, you would be. Quite correct.
Okay. Now, why don't we talk a little bit about how concerned that you are as a man in the U.S. Army, how concerned are you about hearing and obeying when you're on your job? How important is it to you that you hear and that you obey? Are there any consequences if you don't hear and obey?
Okay. I got where you're going with it. Well, from the beginning, like I'm instructing new soldiers. Mm-hmm. So
that's what you do?
Yes, I'm an instructor.
I didn't know that. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. So from the time they're coming in, you have to get them to understand that you need to listen to your NCOs, your non-commissioned officers. You need to listen to what they're saying. You have to be attentive, and you need to act really without thinking. That's why we train and train and train, so that habits become, you know, you don't think, you just react. Mm-hmm. Okay, when something happens, you react. When you hear gunfire, when you hear an explosion, you drop, you know.
You train on this?
Yes, we do. So they need to know that, you know, soldier, move over there. Why? Well, why gets people killed?
Sure.
So if I tell you move over there, get up, move over there, don't worry about why, we'll talk about why later. Get up and move.
Hmm.
Right. So why is obedience is deathly serious.
So
in
what,
my line of work.
What you're saying is the consequence isn't just that.
Could be on several levels of severity.
Yeah, I mean, it might be you don't get to eat dinner tonight, but it might be
death,
which is pretty serious.
Pretty serious. Pretty serious.
Hmm. Thank you, sir.
Sir?
I got what I wanted out of him. You know, I didn't even think about that consequence, to be honest with you, James. You took it up a notch for me. Now, let's think about that. He's saying that a new recruit, really, all of you have trained to listen. Now, I imagine that what they consider compliance is not if you happen to be walking by and you hear something, then obey it. I would think you actually have to report to hear and be attentive. And there's no, what'd he say, what'd he say, what'd he say, what'd he say, what'd he say? I would think that's highly frowned upon. Then once you hear, did you hear what he said? There's no room for why. Why gets people killed? It's just act. Hear and act. Now, a lot of times I don't think we see the severity of the consequence for disobedience. But do you know that there is a way that leads to life? And there's a way that leads to destruction. Now, you may not see the destruction. I'm sure there are times when commands are given that nobody's aware of the destruction but the guy that's given the command. But that doesn't, you don't have to understand everything that's going on to decide you're going to obey. You obey because it's your job to obey. You obey because your life's at stake. Other people's lives are at stake. Compliance is demanded. And that's how this is. See, we see so many things as kind of like, well, why? Well, let me think about that. Let me pray about that. You're going to pray about holding on to bitterness. You're going to pray about if you should forgive. You're going to pray about if you should, you know, just, I'm just going over some of the things we just talked about, of whether you should go to bed with wrath in your heart, whether you should be angry and just blow your stack. You're going to consider what you should do about that. I really like what he said. There's just no time for that. Well, we can deal with that later. Comply now. Ask why later. Obey now. And if we ever get to the point we need to have a discussion, we will. But meanwhile, hit the deck. It's very interesting. A man in James' job and line of work understands the necessity of complying. But most of us don't. We've never been in life, death situations that demand compliance to that level. So we see this, and it's sort of optional. Interesting. Let's turn over. We were in Philippians. Let's go to Colossians. Here's Colossians 3. This is interesting. It opens up. It's just, if you go to the end of the books that Paul wrote, especially Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, most all of Timothy's, even other books he wrote, it's sprinkled throughout, but the back end of these books, you looking for marching orders? Here's some marching orders. Here's one. Verse 1 of Colossians 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Now that's interesting. Set your mind on things that are above. Have you been obedient to that? Is that something that you're habitually doing, frequently acting on? That's right there in the forefront of your thinking. My mind needs to be set on things that are above. Or is that just something you hear, you read, and you think, yeah, that's a good idea, I should do that? Bunches of things in here. Bunches. So many of the things that Paul wrote about have to do with how we react and act towards other people. It's interesting how we're Christians and we have our faith in God and all, but we don't really let ourselves, we don't really submit to what the Word says about how we relate to other people. And we all have kind of our ideas. I was talking to somebody the other day, not somebody in the church, another person. I was talking to him. This is a born-again, Spirit-filled person, talking to him. We're talking about a particular subject that the Bible has a lot to say about. And it was so interesting to me that every comment, every statement this person made started off with, I think, and I feel, and I think, and I feel, and I think, and I feel. Well, the way I see it is. And it just, when this conversation, the longer it went on, the more I realized, not once has this person said, the Bible says, or God said, or the Scripture reads. It was all, I think, I feel. And it just hit me. It reflected back to me. How often am I like that? I think, I feel, without regard to what this says. What this says. Because in any human endeavor, there's something, no matter what you're doing, no matter what the subject is, there's something the Scripture has to say about it. And that's what we should seek first. And that's where we should be focused. And you know, it's just like, you see this all the time in church. We deal with it constantly as pastors. People have in their mind what church is. They have in their mind what pastors do. So everybody that walks in the door, whether they've ever been in church or not, they have a paradigm of what church is and what a pastor does. So they come in the door, and they have expectations of what we'll do as a church, what a pastor will do. And lots of it has nothing to do with what the Scripture says. It's just their own thinking. Well, we take that same kind of mindset wherever we go. This is what you should be doing. This is how you should act. We're constantly measuring the world with what we think. And instead of really renewing your mind, just finding out what God has ordered and us changing our paradigms to match His orders, changing our perspective to match His perspective and complying with His perspective, complying with what He has said. But it's not an easy thing. It's something you have to practice and something you have to habitually do, because we habitually are reflecting what our parents did, what television says, what we read, what we, you know, see in People magazine, what the people around us think. We're just mouthing that. You ever found yourself expressing an opinion that you heard from somebody else? You hear somebody talking about something, and then you're the know-it-all. You know, you meet up with the know-it-all, and they unload on you, and then you're the know-it-all taking it somewhere, and now you're unloading on them. Well, if you could sort of take that little pattern there, except and start here. Now, where are we now? We're in Colossians. You know, you can keep flipping. Thessalonians, same thing. Thessalonians 4, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. And then he goes down in verse 3, you should abstain from sexual immorality. That's not optional. That's not a good idea. That's the Scripture. Each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. This is the Scripture. This is a matter of obedience. And obedience, either you hear and do or you don't. Here's Here's an interesting scripture. Chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and be patient with all. Well, you know, I just don't like to confront anybody. It says here to warn those who are unruly. I mean, it's like we can just pick and choose. You know, the scripture says this. I'm not going to turn over and read it now, but the scripture tells you that when you have ought against somebody, when somebody's offended you, when somebody's done something that's bothering you, the scripture tells you what to do. Does anybody know what the scripture says to do? Do what? Write that down that Liz said, rebuke them. No. No, the scripture says you go to them. It doesn't say that you go to the pastor and tell the pastor what they did to you. So do you realize that if somebody in the church offends you and you come and tell Pastor Matt and you haven't gone to them first, you are actually being disobedient to the scripture. See, the Bible addresses so many things, so many issues. And, you know, we've kind of seemed to be focusing on personal issues, but there's all kinds of things the Bible addresses. And either we are going to be obedient to it or we're not. And in order to be obedient, we have to seek to hear, in this case, seek to read, get some knowledge of it, and then we have to go ahead and do it. Now, you may be like me. I have kind of a hankering to go and buy magazines that are called Fitness, Shape, Fitness for Women. Any of y'all ever bought any books like that? Any magazines? We have one, two people. Are we the only people? We have three. Four. My kids for Christmas gave me magazine subscriptions. You'll never know how thrilled I was to get all these great magazine subscriptions. I have two shelves in my bedroom that are devoted to fitness magazines. You know, the Hard Abs in 40 days, 4 days, 4 hours, whatever it is. You know, I got the whole thing. I'm going to tell you something. You may not know this about me, but I'm pretty much an authority on exercise, physical fitness. I can tell you how to figure your target heart rate, what it should be. I can show you all the different, I can show you downward dog. I can show you the cow and the cat. I can show you all kind of yoga moves. I can do Pilates. I could teach you a class tonight. Isn't this interesting? I have videos on my television. We have access 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to exercise TV. This is on Comcast On Demand for free. And you can get the best workouts, and I watch them all the time. Just this morning, I was getting my kids ready for school, and I was watching this great program with Denise Austin. Y'all have ever seen her? Boy, it was great. Is anybody getting anything here? Maybe you're like me. Maybe you're really attentive to hear. I know I am. But that doing it thing is not, I'm not quite right there with the doing it yet. I do it some, but I'm just not quite as attentive with the doing as I am with the hearing. Conviction has fallen over the crowd. I'm talking about this. I'm not talking about fitness, y'all. I'm talking about this. Even though I'm sure there's some commands about that we're, you know, skipping over too. You know what I'm saying? You can hear and hear and hear and hear, and you got the books and you got the tapes. But and I'm talking about real specific things. I'm talking to you about the back end of Paul's books. I'm just telling you tonight, read the last two chapters in all Paul's writings. You'll find some real practical application kinds of things. And that's where obedience starts, is with the Word. Now, how many of you tonight, you have something going on in your life you really need to hear from God? So that's pretty much all of us there. If we aren't obeying this, why do we think we're going to hear something else? And I'm going to tell you something, too. I've realized this. If we obey this and we scour through here and are obedient to this, we will find the answers so often that we're looking for to come some other way. And I'm just, you know, I can tell you this from the scripture, and I can tell you this from personal experience. So often I'll have something that's just totally out of whack going on, and I'll look in here and I'll come across something and I'll think, oh my, I've heard that, but I haven't done much with it. Or I ought to, but it's sort of been optional. But right here was the solution. Now, these commands that are given and these orders, these things that God has, put in here, the reason they're in here is because, like what James said, God wants to spare us from evil. He wants to keep us from death. He wants to keep us from destruction. And the reality is, if we'll follow these are the things, whether we know why or what, whether we want to do them or not, whether they seem uncomfortable or practical or whatever, the reality is these lead to life. These lead to prosperity. These lead to health. These lead to riches. They lead to love, loving and lasting relationships. They do. So the end that you desire comes from doing. Y'all aren't too excited tonight about my great message here I have about hearing and doing and being obedient. We're talking about the habit of obedience. Making it a habit. Making it a habit to hear. Just like, maybe we should just have James train us in one evening. Just, I'm sure most of us, if we reported out there tomorrow, we would find it a little brutal. It might seem a little cruel or rude or, I'm sure he's not just the sweet, loving guy that we all know him to be here. He's probably a different guy over there. There's a reason most of us have never served in the military. It's that first 6 weeks, I think, that keeps most of us out. But and then all the rest. But, the reality is that as critical as it is that those guys learn to hear and obey, it's that critical for you and me. And for them to be obedient tonight, there's some guys that are roaming streets in Iraq. They're in the mountains in Afghanistan. They're in harm's way. And you hope that they were prepared to be obedient, to be submissive, to yield to what is going to be best for them. And you hope that they do it. Same thing for you. There's a scripture in Hebrews. It says, one of the most important things, as you see the day approaching, the day of His return, is to don't neglect assembling yourselves together. Now, I don't know why. I can't explain every little facet of why. But I do know this. I've noticed a trend that people that need special care and help from the pastoral team of the church, not all the time, but lots of times, those are people who have neglected the assembling of themselves with other folks. They've become isolated. They've dropped out of coming to church. They used to be there, wouldn't miss a service, and then they hit every other week and then once a month, and then they're in some kind of entanglement and they need, an ambulance. But that's the scripture. If you just do the scripture. I don't know why. I know some reasons. I don't know the end of it, but this is what the scripture says. Don't neglect. So it's a matter of obedience to the scripture. It's practicing and habitually obeying what the word says. So it's just, when I asked a minute ago, where does obedience start? Georgette says it starts in the heart, and she's right. It does start in the heart. It's your heart You're willing to yield. You're willing to submit. You're willing to obey. You're willing to delve into it and see what the word says and then do it. And I don't just mean tonight in a general sense. I don't mean just even saying, God, what is it you want me to do? I'll do it. He's already told us a whole lot of things. I'm talking about going into the scripture and seeing what the scripture says and making it your habit to obey. We're reading through the book of Acts this month. We'll be finished on about February 3rd. Maybe after that we should just read these chapters of instruction. The practical parts. Because there's not a lot of promises necessarily in these, so we don't miss, you know, we have our favorites. Psalm 91. And, you know, but this, you know, first, you know, 2 Corinthians 9, but I'm not so sure we want to delve into all this other stuff. Praise God. Well, y'all should stand, or I'll continue. And you look like you've been beat up enough. Talking about our second habit, obedience. And obedience to the written word. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I know that you have, for all of us, individually, you have specific instruction. And that there's something specific for all of us in your word. There's certainly general things, but there's specific instruction for all of us. There are solutions for us in obeying your word. There's correction, there's rebuke from the word for all of us tonight. There's things where all of us need to make adjustments, where all of us, Father, have neglected things we used to do and then we got out of the habit of that thing, whatever it might be. So, Father, I pray for all of us who are here tonight and all that are part of Good News Church. And I ask you to prod us towards those things, particularly that we've neglected, the things that we've been hesitant to obey, the areas where we've resisted. It does. Obedience does have everything to do with our hearts. So I pray that you would enlighten us in our hearts, that you would shine your light of revelation in our hearts and help our hearts to grab hold of the critical, vital part that obedience plays. And us growing, and us not just growing, us living as Christians. And Father, I ask you to reveal to all of us, reveal to us how we can form habits of obedience, how we can practice obedience. And if there's further training that we need, or there are things that we need, and we ask you to make those available to us, to open those things up to us. We need some help with this. And we know that the helper lives in us, so we receive help tonight. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you just take a moment and just talk to God from your heart? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we seek to do your will, and not just the will that you confirm to us by your Spirit, but your will is expressed in your written word. We seek to do your will. Not our will, but your will be done. Forgive us, Father, for going our own way and considering things just to be optional. Good suggestions. Something somebody else needs to do. The solution for them. And neglecting to actually do what we hear. Do what we read. Do what you've spoken through your word to us. Forgive us, Father. We receive forgiveness and we receive cleansing from all unrighteousness tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Be happy.